Yes, as I mentioned earlier on, that today I was at the press conference by the MSF talking about Kunduz 1 year on, so we remember, and to tell us more and remind our listeners about what happened 1 year ago in Kunduz, Afghanistan, we are joined on the line by MSF's Carsten Noko. He's the Vice President of Doctors Without Borders. Good evening and welcome to the program, Carsten.
Good evening and thanks for having us.
Thank you so much for joining us. Now, Carsten, refresh our listeners' memories. What happened 1 year ago today in Kunduz, Afghanistan?
Yes, exactly one year ago, we saw our hospital, the Kunduz Trauma Center, being bombed down by an American plane that totally destroyed the hospital and led to the deaths of 14 of our staff members, as well as 24 patients and 4 caretakers, of a total of 42 people who died on that day.
What has happened since then in terms of political pressure to get justice for, you know, to take action against the U.S. for their actions that day?
So indeed, the particular incident has had a profound impact on the organization, you can imagine. But what we have done over the past year is that we have continued to meet with the Afghanistan government officials and the United States government officials, military officials, and then the United Nations Security Council as well, basically trying to get an understanding of what happened on that particular day. You will remember that we called for an independent investigation,
yes,
into that particular attack,
mm-hmm,
and we got a lot of support from members of the public. We got a total of 500,000 people who signed our petition to ask for an independent investigation. Unfortunately, up until today, this has not happened. What has happened is that there's been national investigations done by the militaries of both the U.S. and Afghanistan government. And according to their report, which, as I will say, is done by themselves, on themselves, basically has reduced the attack to a series of errors by the people on the ground and technical errors on their planes, and so this is where we are today. We still continue to engage with the authorities, trying to get an understanding of what happened.
Now, the international community, what have they done, if anything, regards to this issue?
What we have done, at least in terms of the international community, is that we have met we have addressed the United Nations Security Council. The first time was in May, and we called for them to pass a resolution, which is now today known as Resolution 2286, which basically reaffirmed the protection of medical facilities in conflict areas. And this is already part of international humanitarian law that binds the states that are in conflict. But after that, even after the passing of that particular resolution, we've unfortunately seen an increase in the number of bombings. Mm-hmm. So it appears that the resolution today holds no water, because there seems to be no political will by members, especially of the permanent of the Security Council. We find today that 4 of the 5 permanent members of the Security Council are either directly or complicitly involved in these attacks that we're seeing.
Now, Carsten, how do doctors keep themselves motivated to be able to go out in the field, knowing that they are, you know, face these type of difficulties and, of course, no protection? You know, how do they continue to motivate themselves to keep working in these difficult war conditions?
Indeed, that's a very good question. It is a difficult decision indeed to make, but when you actually look at it, you see that the people in conflict areas are amongst the people that need medical care the most, because they've been wounded in the conflict and they're desperate for facilities and services provided by medical service providers like us. So it is indeed a difficult thing to do. But as an organization, we continue, as we believe that the people, especially in conflict areas. And today we're seeing that more and more organizations are actually pulling out of these places because of the insecurity. So we have the same belief as an organization that actually by being present in these areas, we are serving people that would otherwise have legal or no access to healthcare.
Indeed. And, Karsten, you know, listening to Janine Lotter speaking today about her memories of working in Kunduz Trauma Center, you could see she was still shaken up. 1 year later, do these officials, do these medical doctors themselves need to be treated after, you know, visiting these type of war conditions?
Of course, I do not think that even if it was 10 years later, Janine would be feeling much better than she was on that particular night. I think it's an event that unfortunately will remain in her memory for all her life. We of course, as a responsible organization, offer care and psychological care to our staff, and we try and make sure that our colleagues are in the best possible frame of mind to be in these areas. You will, of course, as you do understand, it doesn't make it any easier. But we do try to take care of our colleagues and make sure that they have at least the ability to survive and move forward with their lives as well.
Indeed, Karsten, if there are any medical doctors or nurses who might want to, you know, join up with MSF to go into these type of conflict areas to help out, how do they get how do they make contact with you?
Thanks. So they could visit our website. It's www.msf.org.za, and from that they will find the way of applying to join our pool of our field workers that we send to the field.
Indeed. Thank you so much for your time, Karsten, for explaining to us and reminding our listeners about the difficulties experienced in the field. And we hope you guys all the best in your endeavors to help those that are most in need. Thank you so much for your time this evening.
Thank you so much, and thank you so much to the listeners as well. It is through the support and the solidarity that we get from the society and the rest of the people that enables us to continue working in these conflict areas.
Indeed. All the best, Karsten. Have a good evening, sir.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.